Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you guys in person and on TV. We thought maybe in order for us to feel like a sangha, we'll have Stephen kind of show who's here in the flesh. Would you go do that for us, Stephen?
Say your name as...
Okay, sure. Oh, I'm Anita.
Kelly.
Wait a minute, where are you?
I'm up.
Andy.
Steve.
Thank you, Steve. And welcome, everyone. I thought tonight, Steve, if you'll put up our document. He can't eat his cookie because he's got to work for us. Thank you for doing that. But I thought maybe it might be just a good time to just look over. I'm not going to go over it, but to look over from where we started to where we're going. And I'm not going to go over it, but this is our scope and sequence, and it's how to build a practice, how to sustain a practice. And as I said earlier when I introduced this lesson, these are not hard guidelines. These are just suggestions, and I've taken them from a variety of teachers who have written books on how to meditate. But as we go down the list, the one we want to talk about tonight is the one that says work with a mentor, a teacher, or a spiritual friend of some kind. And so, why is that so helpful? Okay, Steve, you can take it down and eat your cookie. So, what's so special about a mentor or a teacher or a spiritual friend? And really, what do you have here in the Yellow Dog with Randy and me? So, the Buddha said, Ahi Pasiko, come and see. He says, put the teaching to the test. He makes it clear that we should always listen to ourselves, listen to our hearts. And how refreshing is that? And there's no blind faith in this process of Vipassana insight meditation, but there is a lot of faith, and the faith comes from direct experiencing what the Buddha is teaching us. So the faith does arise, but it comes with, of course, our practice. We listen, we practice. We listen, we practice, because there is a whole way to practice that the Buddha has set up that is the most conducive to our learning. And this has been going on for 2,500 years. But this is also how we learn to trust ourselves. And that's very dharmic, is trusting ourselves. And that's the effort that we're doing to wake up to who we really are. And, you know, we're human beings, but we're also spiritual. So here we are awakening not only to our humanness, but also we begin to touch the formless of who we really are. And we do that in the stillness. We do that in following the way of the Buddhist teachings. So a teacher and a mentor or a spiritual friend knows the curriculum. So, and can be most helpful in the journey. And it takes all of us. So, a wise connection to someone or group that knows would be helpful. So, attending a sangha or meditation retreat can provide us with that connection. Hello.
Hello.
So the Yellow Dog Sangha is aligned with Insight Meditation Society. And that organization comes from two centers, Spirit Rock in California, with the leadership of Jack Kornfield and teachers like Tar Brock. And then in Massachusetts, we have IMS, and that facility is led by Joseph Goldstein and Sharon Salzberg. But all three of these teachers are responsible for creating or allowing or doing the work to get us all to come together. So they've organized us in that way. And so IMS was founded in 1975, pretty soon after our teachers got back from Asia. And they were taught in Asia by Asian teachers. And I've said this before, early on when we were taught like monks, because that's how they were taught. But through the years and through deep wisdom, they have found that, yeah, there's a place for Western Buddhism, and it's called One Dharma. And we'll talk about that in a minute if we have time, if not next time. But where does the Yellow Dog fit into this? Well, Randy was trained as a community Dharma leader at one time, sponsored by Spirit Rock. To be in the program, you have to be recommended by a teacher, and he was recommended by one of our early teachers, Rodney Smith, who's retired, but he was a monk. And we sat with Rodney everywhere. We followed him everywhere he went, and he taught in Texas and North Carolina and Washington and California and Massachusetts. And so we followed him, and Randy began to assist him in the various retreats. But, and Rodney had asked me, you want me to recommend you for the CDL program? But we all three finally decided, no, you know, one's enough. And that, I mean, it had nothing to do that it cost $5,000. But if it did, you know, I can't remember. But so Rodney says, you know, with your meditation practice and with Randy being your mentor, then it qualifies me a bit, and for over 40 years of experience helps too. But that's important to know. You know, who is your mentor? Who is your teacher? Who is your friend? And what do they know? So Randy taught his first beginner's course in 2005 in Wimberley. But before Wimberley, we had joined a small group in San Antonio, the Yellow Dogs, that had been established, and we've talked about him before, John Allen. Paul, who's not here tonight, but Paul was part of that group. And we had been at a Howie Cohen retreat, and this small group of people were here. And Howie always had us going around the circle saying our names and anything we wanted to say at the end. And we spoke up and said, well, we're a Sangha of two. And so they heard us, Paul and John and Orrin, and there were others, and said, well, come join us. We're a Sangha of five. And which is beautiful, which is absolutely beautiful. And so we started going in to San Antonio to sit with them. So both, as you know, the Sanghas, Wimberley and the Yellow Dogs, met weekly for years and years. I can't find the dates, but probably 15 or 16 years until the COVID. And now, as a result of the COVID, we both Sanghas have come together to be called the Yellow Dogs. And here we are. So we have weekly online or in person at the Unity. And then, if you can see on the screen, we have Carlos and Clayton back there that's at the Quaker House, and they're going to start a new group or support that effort once we get the information out from the Quaker House. So that gives us another place to go sit. We can sit in Wimberley, or we can sit in San Antonio. And so the first retreat center was established in Barre, Massachusetts in 1976. And in 78, Randy and I went to our first retreat at the Lama Foundation in New Mexico. And the Lama Foundation was established in 1968 as a nonprofit educational and scientific organization. They would bring in all kinds of weird people like us. We used to do Sufi dancing too, and Sufi Sam, who was known to have brought that to the States, is buried there. And so in 1970, Ram Dass returned from his first pilgrimage from India, had met his guru, Neem Karola Baba, and with the aid of the artist in the artist residence at Lama, Be Here Now was originally printed and sold by the members of the community in 1971. And I asked Randy on the way over, I said, don't we have a first edition of Be Here Now? Because that's where we bought it, at the Lama Foundation. So, and of course, eventually it went into big publication by Random House. But Lama Foundation is a remote area in the hills, right out of Taos, was really a sanctuary for us. No running water, no electricity. And the hardest part was relearning how to be comfortable in a pup tent with no floor and no bathroom or electricity. And of course, reflecting on that, that was just part of it. You know, it's just lovely. So in 1978, Randy and I went to our first meditation retreat there at the Lama Foundation. And Munindra, who was an Indian teacher and one of Joseph Goldstein's teacher, led the Sangha. So here we are. Now in 2022, we keep it going. But thank goodness, that's so helpful. Thank goodness Joseph wrote in 2003 the book One Dharma. And if you're interested in it, it's a good book to have because he gives a whole history lesson of not only the Buddhist, the Asian Buddhist scope and sequence, but also how it's come here and kind of what we're all about. Set us on our way. Gave us a compass. Okay, what are we all about? Well, one dharma. And the book distills a lifetime of practice and teaching and the groundbreaking exploration of the new Buddhist tradition taking root in the American soil. So that was pretty incredible. It was very incredible to be a part of that from the very beginning. So, but Joseph and the One Dharma and always encouraged us to experience the essential point common to all the teachings. You know, there's three traditions, the Theravadan, the Zen, and the Tibetan. And this tradition is from the Theravadan tradition. But with so many different traditions and schools and ways of practice, he says, how do we go about finding this common essence? And so he says, well, there's two things that will help us accomplish this. First, we need to create a foundation of basic knowledge because we weren't born in Asia. We weren't brought up to know that we have Buddha nature. You know, our conditioning is in the Western mind, conditioning is different than the Asian mind. Not better or worse or anything, but conditioning is different. So he says we need some kind of depth of experience and understanding the one practice before we, just one practice, one of the three traditions before we can intelligently look for and find for ourselves, trusting ourselves, what is held in common by all the paths. And so he says, let's don't rush in. Rushing this process can simply lead to confusion because all three traditions are bona fide. But what separates them, if there's any separation, is what they emphasize. And the one of the things, of course, that the Theravadan and the insight meditation stresses is mindfulness meditation. Gets us started. And so he says, practice this one practice, if this is the practice you want to start with, but stay with the practice until you know it. And he said, but keep an attitude of openness to diverse views and a willingness to learn from different perspectives. And that's been so nice because all the Sangha members or a variety of Sangha members come from a variety of traditions. you know. Some are Zen, some are Tibetan, you know. And it doesn't matter because we're all under the umbrella of the Buddhist teachings. So he says the great abundance of teaching now in the West offers many styles of practice and systems of understanding. But it can be overwhelming, and I'm so glad that we started here because it does give us the groundwork we need to, what else is out there? But I'm going to talk more about the one Dharma and what Joseph has to say next week because I'm at my point of being quiet. So I'm going to say thank you for being good listeners. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Sangha, which the Buddha also said, makes clear is so important. So important. So with that, I'll stop and then we'll bring Randy in somewhere, somehow, with Stephen's help.